News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
We were speaking a little earlier to Francis Fitzgerald about the fact that for the first time, President Connolly has referred a legislation to the Council of State for review and discussion as to whether or not it should be forwarded to the Supreme Court for legal testing. With us is Cathal Malone, who's an immigration lawyer and head of legal research at Thomas Coughlin & Co. Solicitors. This is the first time that Catherine Connolly has convened the Council of State. How flexible are the discussions held by the Council of State? How much scope have they? Or is it a binary choice, refer or don't?
It's pretty much a binary choice in terms of refer or don't, although the President doesn't have to refer the entire bill. And the only thing I could say fairly well for certain, I would think, is that she's not going to refer the entire bill. There's two reasons for that. The first is that the thing is absolutely massive. It's 282 pages long. There were 267 government amendments that were guillotined during the week by Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan. And I mean, the fact that...
How many?
267 government amendments were put down, and many of them didn't receive a debate because the minister on Wednesday evening decided to use the government's majority to guillotine the discussion of the bill.
Explain guillotining for those unfamiliar.
So essentially what the minister said is that this is the amount of time we're going to allocate to discuss it, and if we haven't reached all of the amendments, if everybody who wants to speak hasn't spoken, the government can use the fact that it's got a large Dáil majority to just essentially say, right, the bill is going to pass in whatever form we want it to.
Tough luck, swallow it.
But because the bill is so large, and because under Article 26 of the Constitution, if the President decides to refer the bill to the Supreme Court, they only have 60 days to give their decision on whether or not it's constitutional. And I just, there's absolutely no prospect that the Supreme Court could examine the entire bill in that time. So if it is going to be referred, I suspect what will happen, and there is power to do this, is that she will select certain sections about which she's most concerned and refer those to be tested individually.
Now, what precedent is there for the President doing this, and what is the significance in the President doing this?
Well, it has become much less common for the President to refer a bill to the Supreme Court under Article 26 in recent years. It's happened on 16 occasions in total over the history of the state. On 7 of those occasions, the Supreme Court found the bill to be unconstitutional, and on 9, it upheld the bill. The reason why it's become less common in recent years, I think, is because of a peculiar feature of Article 26 itself, which is that if a bill is referred to the Supreme Court by the President under Article 26, or a part of it is referred, and if the bill or a part of it is upheld as being constitutional, it can never be questioned constitutionally in the courts again. And sometimes it can happen that something doesn't look particularly problematic when you're just looking at it in the abstract, but when it's actually being applied in practice day to day, problems can arise with it. And the President will be very aware, and if she's not aware already, will be made very aware by the Council of State, which comprises the Attorney General, all former Chief Justices, the current Chief Justice, as well as a number of distinguished constitutional lawyers whom she has appointed herself as members of the Council of State. They'll be very aware of this problem, that if she refers to the Supreme Court and within that very compressed 60-day time frame, they don't find a problem, the bill is constitutionally immune from being challenged ever again.
Now, this may be too esoteric a question for you to be able to answer off the cuff, but is there? Can you give us any previous instances where any bill has been subsequently constitutionally challenged and that challenge upheld? In other words, what's the kind of bill that over a period of time the state looks at it again and thinks, oh God, we got that wrong?
Well, for example, there was great concern in respect of the very restrictive time limits that were being put in place in respect of immigration and migration, as it happens in terms of the asylum system. There were very restrictive ability to judicially review cases of that nature in a bill that was put forward, the Illegal Immigrants Trafficking Bill 1999, which became an act in 2000. That was referred to the Supreme Court. They upheld the very restrictive time limits, and those, I think, have been seen by a lot of people as being an issue in the years since. In terms of what the Supreme Court has struck down previously, I mean, I think a very notable one was during Mary McAleese's time as president, where the government had been illegally taking money from people's state pensions to pay for nursing home care. When this was raised as an issue, the government rushed through an emergency bill saying not only would it be lawful to do it in the future, but they were deeming it to always have been lawful to take that money in the past. That was referred by President McAleese, and the Supreme Court said, come on, are you having a laugh, lads, essentially? And as a result, the government had to compensate the people for the money that had been taken.
I assume the Supreme Court used slightly more highfalutin language in the actual judgment, but yes. That was the thrust. Now, explain then to what extent any of this may be political or may be perceived to be political, because the president obviously is meant to be hands off when it comes to matters that are political. But undoubtedly, analysts will read into this a suggestion that it's being referred because of an ideological concern.
Well, the first thing to say is that, I mean, certainly the convening of the Council of State, even if the bill isn't ultimately referred, is a signal that the president has very serious concerns about this legislation. I think it's understandable that she would. I mean, the first thing to say is that this has been rushed through with very little parliamentary scrutiny or debate. It was guillotined, as I say, during the week. Also, key elements of the bill relating, for example, to the legal assistance that would be available to people when they're going through the asylum process were... there were placeholders in the bill that didn't spell out any detail, and there was a lot of concern at the Justice Committee and the Oireachtas when they were doing pre-legislative scrutiny of this bill, where they were saying that essentially they couldn't do their job properly because there were parts of the bill where it more or less said, you know, to be announced, we'll fill this in later. And a lot of those amendments were only made this week as part of those 267 that weren't debated.
So finally then, Carl, if this goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court says, to quote your precedent, are you having a laugh, and sends it back to them, what happens then?
Well, if the Supreme Court find that the bill or a part of it is unconstitutional, then the president simply does not sign the bill and it does not become law. What would happen in that circumstance, presumably then, is that the Oireachtas would have to take up the bill in an amended form, leaving out or changing the bits that were found to be problematic.
And the whole cycle begins again. Do the guillotine sections remain guillotined, or do you have to go right back to square one?
You go right back to square one. I mean, ultimately, until the president signs a bill, it doesn't become an act and doesn't have the force of law in the state. And if the Supreme Court, within that 60 days, pronounces that any part of the bill is unconstitutional, the president is not allowed to sign the thing. And ultimately, unless the Oireachtas takes it up again, no part of it becomes law.
One other thing, the Council of State is a bit like Neffet. You sort of don't know you have them until you really need them. It is made up, isn't it? It's a combination of former Taoiseach and then direct nominees by the president.
Former Taoiseach, also former chief justices. And then there's a certain, there's also the current Attorney General, the current Taoiseach, the current chief justice, and then seven nominees by the president who can be anybody the president likes.
But it does therefore mean that in terms of legislation and in terms of the judicial side of things, you have some heavy hitters in that group to address these kind
of
concerns.
Absolutely. And traditionally, presidents would appoint people to the Council of State who might be, I suppose, you know, people who are involved in charitable activity, community activists, etc. President Connolly has gone down a very interesting different route, which is that she's actually appointed quite a lot of heavy-hitting constitutional lawyers to the group. Her announcement was only made several weeks ago as to who her nominees would be. People like Professor Conor O'Mahony from UCC, Professor Donico O'Connell from Galway, former president of the University of Galway, Kian O'Hogarty. I mean, we're really talking about some very, very eminent people who've been appointed who will be able to talk to this in great detail at the Council of State meeting.
Cathal, thank you very much. Cathal Malone, immigration lawyer and head of legal research at Thomas Coughlin and Co Solicitors.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.